While walking down a memory lane of paths so long ago, old Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along life's way. He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?" Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. "You're right for all the things I've done. I surely deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise the dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood."
Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and brought new life within. No longer do I bear the marks that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say,
"It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Oh, blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I'm happy reminding him it's under the
get you cranked. I don't know what your problem is this morning, but that's a good song. I enjoyed that. That helped me out. That was good this morning. And Brother Allen, talk about Brother Larry over there. We got Ray, another one of our bus kids, singing special this morning. So that was just a blessing and treat, have him singing with those ladies. The real Brother Bragg will be preaching now, as I told you, Wednesday night. I preach Wednesday night, and people said, "Brother Bragg, no, he's coming. That's upcoming. He's the original Brother Bragg." And so many of you maybe do or do not know my dad, and he's been here just for a couple of years. He pastored in the St. Louis area for well over 30 years, and just a joy to have him close to home, and looking forward to hearing him preach today, preach for us today.
Well, amen. I'm the real Pastor Bragg. I guess I am, but open your Bibles to Psalm 57. I want to thank everyone for coming this morning. Thank you for being here. I'm grateful to Pastor Angel for inviting me to fill his pulpit while he's gone. I'm going to say what everyone else is thinking. I sure wish he was here. Amen. We're ready for him to be back. Amen. Amen. He's the best. We're glad that they took the vacation and the time with their family, but we will be glad when he's home. Always nervous to preach my home church, even though we've only been members for about 2.5 years, some of the best Christians I know are sitting in these pews. By the way, folks, don't forget, please don't take for granted what God has given us here. A Sunday school teacher told us this morning, talked about it this morning, not all churches have this many young people sitting in the pews. I mean, churches are dying, many of them, not all of them. This one is not. And so do not take for granted what you have here, what we have here. I am a little bit intimidated. All the staff guys preached, and they did a great job. Brother Dan Martin preached. I mean, he hit a home run. And then Brother Brown last week, I mean, he hit a grand slam. I promise you I'm not going to walk pews or talk about bicycle riding. I just want to tell you that right now. My knees will not allow me to do that. And so I feel a little intimidated, Brother Larry. We're the bottom of the batting order, amen? I'm just going to try to keep the inning alive until preacher comes, amen? Thank you, church family, for asking about us and praying for us. We've been very busy with pulpit supply and helping other churches without pastors. In 2020, we helped a church down in Flora, Illinois, and now they have a pastor. 2021, we spent a lot of time in Tuscola, Illinois. They have a pastor. There's a church now in Canton, Illinois. If you'd pray for them, they're without a pastor, and we may be helping them for some time, but preached there twice, and so we may be going back sometime. But Pastor Angel was very kind to me when he wrote a letter to dozens of churches in the Midwest telling them that I'm available for weekend pulpit supply. That's why I'm not here on Sundays. I'm preaching usually. March, April, and May, we were very busy, 12 Sundays out of 13. June and July, we're here just one Sunday, not including today. August, September looks like it's completely full. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, church. Not only for asking, but your care and concern and praying for us. I appreciate it so much. There's certain people that pray for me every time they ask me, where are you going to be this Sunday? And they pray for me, and I appreciate you doing that. By the way, please pray for two churches this week, Brother Keith Harrison and Brother Jason Munkowski. They're both having vacation Bible school this week. And so they text me and ask me if I'd pray for them. So don't forget them in prayer. As you are now have found Psalm 57, let me give you two disclaimers that I give to every church where I preach. First of all, if you're visiting, do not judge this church by my preaching, okay? Come back and hear the best. Come back and hear Pastor. Amen? You say, I don't like that brag guy. Well, you're in luck. I'm only here once. Amen? And then secondly, to members, don't use my words against the pastor. Don't take something out of context and say, well, Brother Ed said. No, don't you do that. Don't you do that. I pastored for 33 years. I know what members can do. So be careful about that. Those are the two disclaimers. Now, if you found your place in Psalm 57, please stand. We'll read the first 7 verses of this psalm. If you can, stand. If not, then just listen silently as I read aloud. Psalm 57, verse number 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. Verse 7, the text verse. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 108, verse number 1, let me just read it to you. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. The title of the message is very simple, Fixed on Praise. fixed on praise. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'd bless the reading of your word. We pray that it be a sharp sword. It would be a salve. I pray that it would be a stone to some. And Lord, I pray that it be salvation to others. And Father, we pray that you would use your word. Please, Holy Spirit of God, speak through me to thy people, I pray. Thank you for this great church. And I pray that you bless Pastor and Mrs. Angel as they travel home. Give them safety, we pray. We thank you for the rain. We do pray that it would stop before this evening. We pray that you would bless now as we preach. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. You may be seated. By way of introduction, I want to give you a few definitions that will help this passage. The word fixed means fastened, attached, or placed as to be firm, not readily moved, rendered stable or permanent, set or intended upon as a fixed stare. Have you ever said to yourself, well, I had my heart set on whatever? Sometimes you'd say to your wife, what are we having for supper? And she'll tell you, you said, well, I had my heart set on something else. Yes, that's the word set. You were looking forward to something and you just set your mind on it. Many women might have said, I had my heart fixed on going out to eat tonight. I don't know, but you understand what I'm saying. Fixed, that's what you were thinking of. That's what you were headed toward. And then the word praise, very interesting word. The word praise means to strike with your fingers or other means as to strike on a musical instrument, like a bow would across a violin, or as a piano hammer would hit the note or the strings of a piano, or as a wind would go through and pass over certain parts of an instrument, or as our voice from our lungs comes through our throat and out our mouth, we are created to praise God. God created us to praise. It really is not for us to curse and swear. It's for us to praise Him. That's our voices should. That's why the psalmist said at the end of the psalm, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The psalmist said, I will sing and give praise. We are designed by God to give Him praise. And that statement right there convicts me, because how often do I not do that? And then, of course, the heart is the seat of our emotions, our feelings, our outlook, that part of our spirit that communes with God. I love Romans 8:16. I think it's one of the greatest assurance verses in the Bible. The Bible says His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I remember witnessing to a lady one time, talking to her about being saved. Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I pray every day and so forth and so on. I said, I just got frustrated and I thought of that verse and I said, let me ask you something. Has the Spirit of God ever told you that you're saved? She looked at me and she didn't know what I was talking about. Because unsaved people don't have the Spirit of God living in them. And so the psalmist says, I'm getting off a little bit, but the psalmist said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. With all the bad news in the world and in our country, I work at keeping a good spirit. Let me say that again. With all the bad news in the world and in our country, I work at keeping a good spirit. I work on protecting my heart. The Bible says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 18:14, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Doctors will tell you the outlook of your recovery is very important. Because how you look at how you're going to recover or coming out of your infirmity, that spirit, that attitude can make a huge difference in your recovery. And we need to protect our hearts and protect our spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferreth, maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When you fix your heart, now listen carefully, let's put all those three words together. When you fix your heart on singing and giving praise to God, your heart will never be disappointed or you'll never be heartsick. Because that's what we're made for. We're made to praise God and we're made to sing. Well, you say, I had my heart set on whatever. Well, I guess I'll have to settle for second best. When you fix your heart on singing and giving God praise, your heart will never be disappointed or heartsick. Fix your heart on praising and singing to the Lord. That's how you help your spirit. By the way, your spirit's so important. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Many people in prison today because they just couldn't control their spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth over his spirit than he that taketh the city. We have to be careful about our spirit. We are living in such terrible times politically and economically. You know, I wish we could go back to January 6th. I really do. Gas was only $1.87. The economy was going strong and there was no war in Ukraine. Amen. But that hasn't happened. So what are we going to do? We're going to get discouraged about it again? No. We're going to fix our heart on praising God. I look at the fact that, hey, we're going home soon. I mean, if you're saved and born again, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I think we're going home before the tribulation. I understand that persecution and tribulation are two different things, and we may face persecution, but I'm telling you something, folks. If you're saved and born again, we're going home soon. I get excited when I think about that. I praise the Lord. We're living on the very edge of what we've been preaching for years. We're going home soon. Well, praise God about that. Well, let's look at the context of this psalm and get to the message. I only have three simple points. The context of this psalm, David is running from Saul. David is obviously doing God's will. In fact, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and let's read a few verses here and give you just three simple points to think about this matter of fixing your heart on singing and praising. Singing and praising. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 14, the Bible says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player and a harp. And it shall come to pass that when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David, thy son, which is with thee, with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David unto his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. When should you listen to good music, or when should you sing and praise God? Well, you ought to do it when you're in a bad spirit. Now, I know that none of you ever get in a bad spirit. I know that because I can see your halos. I understand that. But every once in a while, I get out of sorts. And David's writing this psalm while he's running from Saul. And it's interesting to me, I'm getting ahead of myself, but in Psalm 57, the first six verses, he talks about how the enemy's attacking him, his enemy. And then verse 7 is like, wait a minute. I'm going to fix my heart on praise, and I'm going to sing. I'm not going to let this evil spirit overcome me. Verses 8 through 11, you can find out he had a different attitude. An attitude makes all the difference in the world. And so occasionally I get into bad mood, bad spirit. And David thought, wait a minute, I remember my old boss, Saul. And I remember when he got in a bad spirit, I started playing on the harp and God did something. Can I tell you, when you get in a bad spirit, you need to sing and praise God. It's not always easy to do that at that time, because most of the time you're mad, you're upset, you're out of sorts. And by the way, when you get out of sorts with God, that's when the bad spirit comes. It really does. I work a secular job Monday to Friday. One day, after a long, hot, two-hour bus ride, I was mad and wanted to complain to everybody about everything. Now, I know I'm confessing to you folks, and you folks never feel that way. I know that, but just listen to my confession, okay? I just wanted to complain. But God reminded me, hey, do you remember the message that you preach about fixed on praise? Well, it's tough being a preacher sometimes because God reminds you what you preached. And I said, yes, sir. So I walked into the production area where the time clock is and get ready to clock out. I didn't think anybody was there. And I started singing. I thought, hey, if they can play rock music around here, I can sing gospel songs. And I started singing this song. Nobody knows all the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows like do Jesus. Nobody knows all the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah. Sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometimes my face right in the ground. Oh, I didn't know anybody was listening. There's a little lady around the corner. She's a Christian gal. She says, Ed, you got soul. I said, I don't know if I have soul, but I got trouble and I got Jesus. Amen. Singing will help you. Amen. Singing will help you. Let me give you a public service announcement right here. When you're driving in town around here, there's a big white line at an intersection. Okay? You're supposed to stop your vehicle either before or on that line. The Department of Transportation has calculated how much space it takes for a semi to turn a left turn in front of that vehicle. And if you go past that line, it's very difficult for a semi to turn, make that turn. You see, in addition to driving a bus, I drive a semi, pulling a 53-foot trailer. And I drive it here in Bradley and Kankakee. And sometimes when people pull over that white line, it's so hard for me to keep a good spirit about things. I mean, honestly, if you see somebody driving a red semi and he's going like this, like, that's a white line, pal. Where'd you get your license? I'm glad you can't hear me. Amen. If he's wearing a St. Louis baseball cap, it's probably me. And so many times I've turned that corner, Brother Scott, and after I've been all upset about it, the Lord reminds me, hey, what if that's one of the church members? And I drive on North, Kinsey. I drive right in front of the church, go down here to W.W. Henry, pick up, right just in this area. And I sure want to apologize to anybody that I've had a bad spirit to. David learned from Saul what to do. See, Saul was out of sorts with God, and that's why he had a bad spirit. He was not submissive to God, as Brother Brown preached last week. He wasn't submissive to God. He got out of God's will, and he just had a bad spirit. And David remembered that. By the way, David said, I'm not going to let that happen to me. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and praise thee. David is a man known after God's own heart. He kept his heart, his spirit right with God. So David learned from Saul. Brother Martin was giving his seven reasons what heaven will be to him. And I thought of one. I can't wait till we get to heaven and hear the singing in heaven. Revelation 15:3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Can you imagine? By the way, those who don't think they can sing, you'll be able to sing in heaven. I really believe that. And most of the time, people who say they can't sing, they really can sing. They just haven't had a voice that's been trained. Now, I said that to say this. We had two men back in St. Louis, and they really couldn't sing. It was bad. But they encourage themselves that when they get to heaven, they can be a part of that choir and sing. I'm looking forward to the singing. So listen to good music when you're in a bad spirit. Number two, listen to good music when someone is trying to get you in a bad spirit. Go to 2 Kings chapter 3 quickly. 2 Kings chapter 3. Listen to good music or praise the Lord when someone's trying to get you in a bad spirit. 2 Kings chapter 3 is the story of Jehoram and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, and Elisha. Let's read, let's just go ahead and read these verses. Verse 1, now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the idol of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he clave unto the sins of Jeroboam and the son of Nebat, which made Israel sin, and departed not therefrom. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. And it came to pass, when Ahab was dead, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all of Israel. He's going to go back and get his money back. He's going to bring this rebel back into the fold, so to speak. Verse 7. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? He can't do it himself. He's going to find somebody to help him. And he said, I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses. And he said, which way shall we go? Go up. And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So the king of Israel went, the king of Judah and the king of Edom. They fetched a compass, a 7 days journey. There was no water for the host, for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. We're going to die out here. Verse 11, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is good with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and the prophets of thy mother. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them in the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor to see thee. And here you have the king of Israel trying to get back his revenue that he had lost from the king of Moab. And he employs Jehoram to help him and the king of Edom. And they run out of water as they take this 7 day journey. And so they said, well, is there anybody here that can find out? And Jehoram, the defeatist, the fatalist, says, we're just going to die. Just God let us come out here to die. And Jehoshaphat, wait a minute. Let's go seek the Lord. Let's find out what the Lord says. Is there any prophet here that can tell us what to do? And so they go to Elisha. But Elisha is so upset at the presence of Jehoram. Jehoram is the son of Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel were the two worst kings and monarchs of Israel. And they worshipped Baal. They did all kinds of crazy things in politics, much what we see going on today. And so Elisha was so upset that he didn't even talk to Jehoshaphat at first or to the king of Edom. He just calls out Jehoram right away. Go back to the prophets of your mom and dad. Go back to those. Why don't you go back to them? I can't do that. He said, if it wasn't for the fact that Jehoshaphat was standing here, I wouldn't even talk to you. Have you ever had somebody just get under your skin? And they just set you on edge. And that's what Elisha was. His spirit was troubled. He said, if it wasn't for the fact that Jehoshaphat was standing here, I wouldn't even talk to you. Have you ever had somebody just try to get you out of sorts and get you in a bad spirit? That's what's happening here. But here's what Elisha did. Look at verse 15. And Elisha says, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. He said, I'm so upset. Somebody find me somebody that can play some music and get me in a better mood and a better spirit. See, when people are trying to get you out of sorts, that's when you need to say, oh, God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and I will praise you. It's how you get out of a bad spirit. Get back in the right spirit. Sometimes there will be people who will try to get you in a bad spirit. Listen to good music and sing praises to the Lord. When I say good music, let me just clarify this. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the very next verse says, submitting yourselves one to another, as Brother Brown preached last week. But we need to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. A psalm is from the Word of God. That's the songbook. Psalms is the songbook of the Bible. One of the first psalms I ever learned was Psalm 84:1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, city of the great King. Sing a psalm. Find something to sing. We sang this a lot in Israel. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing songs. I'm telling you, it can change your attitude when somebody's trying to get you in a bad spirit, in a bad mood. I got to remind myself that when I turn left and somebody's pulling out in front of me. Find a song to sing. Psalms, and then it says hymns. Psalms, hymns. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I tell you, you can sing that all day. Amen. I love the choir number. Love the choir number. An old Southern Baptist preacher named Vance Havner used to say, never lose the wonder of your salvation. Never lose the wonder of the fact that there was a God in heaven who came down, died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day to save an old sinner like us. Amen. So hymns, amazing, how firm a foundation, the old rugged cross. Just sing a good song. Then it says spiritual songs. And in Ephesians, the word spiritual is in lowercase. And it means a song that speaks to your spirit. It, not necessarily a psalm or a hymn, like a patriotic song. Battle Hymn of the Republic, our national anthem. I mean, it does something for you, but it's not a psalm or a hymn. Now, I want to caution you right here and give you a warning. Stay away from rock music. Stay away from rock music. Stay away from contemporary Christian music and rap. That's just to name a few. Country, let me throw that in too. Rock music by its very nature is anti-Christian. There's four parts to music. There's the melody, the harmony, the lyrics, and the rhythm. Rock music focuses on the rhythm. And that's not what God wants you to focus on. Did you hear the verse? Ephesians 5, it says this. In Ephesians 5, verse number, I've lost the verse. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. I'm glad it didn't say singing and making lyrics in your heart to the Lord, because sometimes I can't remember the words. My wife says, that's not the words of that song. So it is for me. Amen. It is for me. Rock music is anti-Christian. Christian rock, there's no such thing. It's impossible. In fact, I just make you another confession. I even tried to listen to that stuff. It burdens my spirit. Country music, and it's filled with drunkenness and unholy connotations. I mean, if you play country music backwards, you get your wife back, your dog back, your car back, your house back. Like some guy that got drunk and lost all that stuff. And then rap music, it's like beating your head against the wall. I mean, don't listen. Just don't even go there. It says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hey, look, when you're singing a song and praising Him, you ought to be doing it as if He's standing right in front of you and you're singing to Him. So when you're in a bad spirit, listen to good music. When someone's trying to get you in a bad spirit, listen to good music. Number three, the last point is this. When the devil is trying to destroy your spirit, listen to and sing good music. Go to Acts chapter 16, would you please? Acts chapter 16 for the last point. Acts chapter 16. You know the story well. This is a story about Paul and Silas being in jail. They were preaching. I think it was in in Philippi is where they were at, and they were thrown in jail. And verse 25, we pick the story up. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They didn't just pray, they prayed and sang praises unto God. I almost preached out of Psalms. Psalms is the songbook of the Bible, but if you ever noticed how many times in the book of Psalms, David is praying to God. He says, O Lord, or O God, over 250 times. It's a prayer to God made into a song. It's amazing. That book is just an amazing book. By the way, this whole book is amazing. I'm not sure you can praise God properly without this word. I just don't think you can. But nonetheless, when the devil's trying to destroy your spirit, and there's obviously they've been jailed, they were commanded not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they put them in the prison, charged the jailer to keep them safe, and at midnight they Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and suddenly, and the prisoners heard them. They didn't just say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. No, they sang loud. I was called to preach under a man named Carlos Demarest. I think I've told you about him before. He's now in heaven. Brother Demarest was a soul winner. He'd take us teenage boys and get us up early on during the week during the summertime, and we'd go out to the property and work on the property. We'd start at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, and he'd say, all right, now we're going to sing. We're going to read the Word of God, and then we're going to go work. We would go into lunchtime. We'd go to KFC. He loved fried chicken. We'd go to KFC, and he would say, all right, boys, before we eat, we're going to sing. And we'd start singing. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. You would not believe how fast a restaurant clears out when you start singing those songs. And then if they didn't clear out, he'd say, okay, fellas, we're going to have a Bible study before we eat. We always ate food cold because we never really got to it. But he would say, all right, Eddie, you read Romans 3:10. Then Ronnie, you read 3:23, and he'd have us read the Romans Road as loud as we could so we could just tell people about Jesus. He wasn't going to let the devil get the victory. These fellows in prison, and they're singing, and they're praying. I don't know what they sang. I have no idea. I don't know if it's Psalm 84:1. I don't know if it's a hymn. I have no idea. But they started singing, and they sang loud enough that the prisoners heard them. Three things happened. Number one, the place was shaken. The place was shaken. Now, I'm not going to say that when the devil's after you, and if the devil's been riding your shoulder and riding you this week, I'm not going to say if you praise God that the earth's going to quake. But can I tell you, I do believe that the closer we get to the coming of Christ, if persecution does come, I believe we have a God in heaven that loves us enough to make things happen in His will. And he just had that place shaken, had an earthquake. Look at verse number 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. The first thing that happened, the place was shaken. Number two, I think, Brother Payne, is probably just as big a miracle. The prisoners all stayed. Now, I preached in prison. Friday nights down in Farmington, Missouri, we would have a service, just men. There were 80 to 100 men there, and they'd get to singing. And I'm telling you, God showed up. I mean to tell you, they'd quote scripture, and God showed up. But I don't know if the doors had been busted open and they were allowed to leave, whether they would have been Christian enough to stay. I don't know which is the bigger miracle, the earthquake or the prisoners stayed, but they were all there. Look at verse number 27. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, and he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm. We are all here. What a miracle. Number one, the place was shaken. Number two, the prisoners stayed. Number three, the Philippian jailer got saved. I preached last Sunday at Biblical Baptist Church near Waukegan, Illinois. I preached to Dr. Ronald Petrick and his wife. He's 87 years old, been preaching a long, long time. I love being around that guy because he's just happy. And he loves the Lord. He wants to tell people about Jesus. He's like a Carlos Demers. He's gonna tell somebody about Jesus. I just love a guy like that. Philippian jailer got saved. He said this last week. He said, you know, some of you folks, now I preached, but then he gave the invitation and preached a little bit longer after that. Amen. He said, some of you folks, the Christianity that you have, I'm not sure I'd want it. You know, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And he went through this. He said, man, if you're going to sing, sing. Now, I stood next to him. He doesn't have much of a voice, but he does sing out. This Philippian jailer got saved. He got born again because two men in the prison said, I'm not going to let the devil destroy my spirit. I'm going to lift my voice up. I'm going to fix my heart on praise. And I'm going to pray and sing praises to God. By the way, not just the Philippian jailer, his whole family got saved. God did a great work when Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. See, Brother Bragg, Brother Ed, how do I fix my heart to sing and give praise? First of all, you need to get saved. I don't think you can properly praise God without being a child of God. I give this illustration. We had two neighbor boys, Marcus and Jacob, and they would come into our house and walk into our house, go to our refrigerator, get stuff out. They were just like our own kids. But if they did something wrong, or I needed to talk to my children, I'd send them home. Because they weren't my children. And I loved them, but they just weren't my children. When you're saved and born again, you are a child of God. Amen. And you know what it is to praise Him. You know what it is to give Him thanks and praise Him. You know what it is to have a bad spirit, be crossways with Him, and you praise Him anyway, because praising Him leads you to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving just gives you just the Spirit of God again. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. So you need to get saved. Psalm 40, verse number 3 says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I have a half-brother. His name's John. He was my hero, 7 years older than I. He drove a race car. He was a drag. He had a 69 Firebird, 4 minute 400, 330 horses. Just, man, it's a nice car. And he'd drag race that thing on the weekends or on Saturday night and then Sunday. When it was on Sunday, I couldn't go with him. My mom made me go to church, and that was fine. That was very good for me. But I wanted to be just like him. He had long hair, big, long beard. He was a mess. He was a drummer in a rock band. I just wanted to be just like him. But something happened to me. June 13th, 1971, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I mean, tell you, God gave me a new song. He changed my life. I could name rock groups and all kinds. I could name all this stuff. That's past. That's not me anymore. That's the old Ed Bragg. God gave me a new song, and I got a burden for my brother. By the way, he's praying for us this morning. But my brother, I took him to church, and he's sitting there. I mean, he's got this big, long hair and long beard. And just, you could tell he didn't quite fit in. And the guy got to preaching on rock music. Oh, no. I just stared straight ahead. He looked at me and he says, what'd you bring me to? I just stared. I didn't answer him. And then the preacher would say something about rock music. No, that's not true. That's not right. Oh, he was mad. He was mad. And so he left. He walked out at the invitation, and when he met me at the door as I was going out, he said, don't you ever bring me this place again. I said, okay. He said, don't you ever talk to me again about the Lord. I said, all right, I won't. So I went to the preacher, and I said, preacher, would you go talk to my brother about the Lord? I can't do it anymore. The preacher would go to the front door, and he'd go to the back door. And one day, preacher took his wife, and so preacher went to the front door, Mrs. Preacher went to the back door, and they caught him in between, and my brother got saved. I mean, he got saved. S-A-V-E-D. He didn't get just saved. He got converted. I'm telling you, he went back to his work and said, I've stolen some things, shop towels and stuff like that, and tools, and how much is it going to... And he had, they had, and Big John got saved. God called him. God called him to be a Christian school teacher, and he taught Christian school for years. He's now in his 70s, and his body's pretty well broken. I talk to him every week. He says, Ed, where are you preaching this Sunday? I said, preach at my home church. He said, I'll be praying for you. He goes to church. I'm telling you, God gave him a new song. Took all that rock music and all that other stuff from him. Hey, he listened to good music and godly music, and then his spirits are lifted up. How do you have a good spirit? How do you fix your heart on praise? Number one, get saved. The Philippian jailer got saved. Changed him. Changed him from inside out. Number two, how do you have a good spirit? Number two, if you are saved, trust in the Lord. See, praising him helps you learn what he is and who he is. The Bible says in Psalm 112:6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. When you praise him and sing praises to him, you trust him more. Amen. Because it reminds you who's in control. Praising God may not change your situation or your surroundings, but it will change you in your surroundings and in your situation. And I gave the illustration, Psalm 57, first six verses, David's talking about his enemies, and he's all the last 8 through 11. Well, let me just read them to you to close the message with this. He gives this idea that, hey, I've got a different attitude. Verse 7 says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will wake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Praise the Lord. So we need to praise him when we have a bad spirit. We need to praise him when someone's trying to get us in a bad spirit. We need to praise him when the devil's trying to destroy our spirit. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. How many are saved this morning? You'd say, Brother Bragg, I'm saved. I'm born again. I have no doubt about it. I know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. You'd say, Brother Bragg, that's me. Would you slip your hand up big and high? That's me. I'm saved. I'm born again. All right, God bless you. You can take your hands down. Not everybody can raise their hands. Let me ask those who just raised your hands, those that are saved. How many would say, Brother Bragg, I have to admit, I've got a bad spirit, and I really want God to change me. I need to start singing and praising him. I got a bad spirit. I'll confess that just by raising my hand, and I want to talk to God about it. Would you slip your hand up big and high? Many hands. God bless you. Sing, I will fix my heart on praise. How many would say, Brother Bragg, somebody's trying to get me in a bad spirit, and I really need God's help with this. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Somebody's trying to get me in a bad spirit. God bless you and you and you and you. God bless you. God bless you. You can take your hands down. The last one, you'd say, Brother Bragg, the devil's just been riding me. I just really need God to help me with this matter of I will fix my heart on praise. Say, Brother Bragg, would you pray for me? The devil's really been riding me. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up big and high. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Take your hands down. Many hands, these altars. This altar is a place where we come to God. We talk to him how we need help. Speak to him how we want our spirit changed. The last question is this. How many would say, Brother Bragg, I'm not saved, but I need to be. I need to be saved. I really do. I'd like to be saved. Would you pray for me? I won't come back and talk to you. I won't come down and talk to you. But I'll just pray for you. Would you say, Brother Bragg, Brother Ed, would you pray for me? I'd like to be saved. I'd like to. Would you just slip your hand up big and high and say, Brother Bragg, that's me. I'd like to be saved. Anybody in the auditorium say, I'd like to be saved. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Anybody like that? I'm going to pray and then we'll stand. As soon as I say amen, if God spoke to your heart, you need to use the altar. You come. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd bless the invitation. Lord, we've preached the word of God, and now whatever you want folks to do, I pray they do. Lord, I thank you again for changing my life. Lord, thank you for giving me a right spirit, a free spirit, and the Holy Spirit. I pray now that you bless the invitation, use it for thy honor and glory, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name for thy sake. Amen. Would you stand, please, on the very first note of the invitation hymn? God dealt with your heart. You come. Use the altar this morning.